Lord, we thank you every sickness and disease is subject to you, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. He's Lord over sickness. Listen, for somebody, he's the Lord over what's been spoken to you as incurable, and you're just going to have to deal with this the rest of your life, and that's just the way it is. That is a lie. And I'm not against doctors, but they're just practicing. You know, 95% of what doctors do is treat symptoms. They don't really have the power to heal. And I'm thankful. You know, I'm thankful for them. Sometimes you need that when your face too weak to get you to that place where you, you know, can get that healing. But I firmly believe that we should always go to God first and strongest, and know that he is who he says he is, and knowing that you are who he says you are. And anyway, I don't know who that applies to, but somebody has given in. No, there's multiple people that's given in to, that's just the way it's going to be. That's not true. It doesn't have to be like that. There's not, and even if you're getting older, it doesn't have to be like that. You don't have to be crippled. You don't have to be stiff. You don't have to have aches and pains every day. God is a healer. And if he did it for, listen, I'm being arrogant, but if he did it for Moses, he'll do it for Mark. If he loved Moses, he loves me. Right? He is no respecter of persons. And I know we can all throw that verse around, but truly, he's not. He is a healer. And when we find out our authority in the King, and that's what's lacking most of the time. We don't realize our authority. His authority in us, okay? Isaiah. Well, let's do Philippians 4:13 first. What is it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. By the way, I don't know if y'all got my text or my Facebook or Sherry Taggart will be here this Friday night at 7 p.m. So I hope you can. And I realize some people have some Christmas stuff going, and I fully understand that. And I would have asked everybody in the church what their schedule was, but the next week there was even more, you know, so I know for the next 3 weeks, it's like, and you just, you know, if you got something going, come out late, come out in time to hear Sherry. So I hope you can do that. Jerry Bryant's going to be him and Esther. I thought, well, who can do worship? And I asked, Jenny's got something going. I didn't realize that. So I thought, well, that would be awesome. And they really were pumped about it because they love to do stuff like that, and they never get an opportunity because in their church anymore, I think they've got about 40 worship teams, and Jerry's still kind of prone to a little rock and roll every now and then, and he likes a da 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 da. Aren't you precious? Yes, I am. Go to Isaiah 22. Oh, by the way, and I'm too much business. There's too much going on, but I want to build this wall. Is this Saturday or the next Saturday? What sounds good for? I need at least one person that's smart enough to know how to. No, really. You got to do it right, because once you start putting these boards up, if it's not right, you got problems. So the framing has to be right. So either week, if somebody can just supervise and tell what to do, and does that ring anybody's bells? Anybody off 2 weekends from now? Can you, Mike? You don't look good on either one of them, huh? Well, I might just have to hire somebody that's a carpenter and do it. Yeah, if he's willing to volunteer his time. What about your brother? I know he knows how to frame. Freddie. Fred, what about you? You know how to frame? Well, frame up a wall with 2 foot centers. You know how? You could give orders. How you look in 2 weeks? Don't know? Well, look into it, man. Danny, I know you know. Working both Sundays or Saturdays? Well, okay. Yeah, ask them. And let me know right away, okay? Isaiah 22. Y'all got it? Y'all know this, I'm sure. Talking about authority, talking about divine governments. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne, which a throne is a seat of honor. It's a royal dignity, authority, and power. It's like government. Not the ones we know. Government that, when they talk about government in the Bible, they're talking about a king. They're talking about a king. Y'all start praying. Peace, Jesus. Peace, Jesus. It's okay. I'm glad y'all are here. Don't worry about it. So it says 22:22. I'm sorry. I didn't tell you. My bad. I'm so sorry. I'm kind of walking in confusion right now. It's very busy. Shouldn't do that. I'll read that again. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. And to me, when I thought the key of the house of David, well, the house of David is the lineage that Jesus came from, right? And I thought he said he laid the authority on his shoulder, and that may very well be where you lay authority. I'm not sure, but I thought he carried the cross on his shoulder. So the cross was Jesus's authority, wouldn't you say? The cross is our authority. The blood of Jesus is our authority. The resurrection is our authority. So he laid all that authority on Jesus and gave it to him because he was what? Obedient. Even unto death, death on the cross. Isaiah 9, 6 to 7, this is always used as a Christmas verse. And it can be, but Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government, it's like power, it's like the power of a prince or a king to contend with, to persist, to exert oneself, to preserve, to contend with. In other words, this son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Of the increase of his government, right? What's increasing government? Authority, right. Of his authority and his power, there will be no end. And you look around at the nations, and you notice, you probably have noticed that our government is not godly. Our government does not follow the ways of the Lord, even though it started out that way, it has strayed far from God's government, right? And with God's government never fails, correct? God's government always works. When you keep His precepts, when you keep His laws and statutes, just like our government, when you keep those, there's peace. When you keep those, there's tranquility. When you keep those, it's a safe place, right? Our nation is a... God wants our nation to be a safe place. And I'm not talking about politics, even though when a godly person rules, there's peace. But when an evil person rules, or what's the word? There's confusion and unrighteousness and all evil things when an unrighteous person rules our nation. Of the increase of His government and peace. Government and peace, they go together. I'm talking God's government. Government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. With what? Judgment and justice. What's judgment? It's seeing that something is wrong. And justice is, it's what? Making it right, which involves punishment. Consequences, very good. And that's something we don't look at a lot in America, because we don't look at consequences, because it seems like everything's coming down right now. Well, I don't feel, it's come to feelings instead of facts and truths. I don't feel like that would be right. I don't feel like we, you know. Does that make sense? And feelings change. From generation to generation, feelings change. Certain things in my father's generation were considered sinful and immoral. And then in my generation, the whatever you want to call it, generation, the generation that gave back, you know, gave back a lot of victory. But the point is we've got to have a revolution. We must have a revolution. And it's a revolution. You always think a revolution is hippies and bad things and freaks and... It's not. A revolution can go back to... In fact, the revolution that birthed America was like, you are not free to worship in England. You're not free to do this. You're not free to do that. You pay exorbitant taxes, kind of like we got now. You see, it's revolved. It always... When you leave something untouched and you leave something to fend for feelings and unrighteousness, it always degrades itself. And it always goes down. Yes. Sin will take you down. Sin will always take you down. Amen. And a lot of it's because of the theory of evolution. You know, evolution states that things are becoming better and better and better. But the truth is, things are getting worse and worse and worse. And I believe Adam was... I believe his brain was way above what we could think. I believe that first generation before sin got in there and destroyed, I believe, phenomenal. He named all the animals. They came their own language. I mean, all this stuff was birthed in the garden, right? So think about how far that Adam and Eve came before they sinned. But the point is, there was a government there, right? And there was only one governor, right? There was only one king. Who was it? It was the Father. They walked and talked with Him in the garden. They hung out with Him. He told, I don't know what He talked to them about. But He was the government. There was no question He was the government. You didn't rebel. You didn't like, I don't want to do that. That don't feel good to my flesh. Because they weren't walking in the flesh. They were walking in the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God controlled everything, right? Anyway, I want to get out of this. Let's go to I'm going to say it again. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion." What's dominion? I looked it up. It means rule. It means reign. It means have dominion over, to dominate, to tread down, to rule, to subjugate. God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion." Let them have authority. Let them have government over this earth. Let them be over the animals, and the everything will be subject to man. That's the way it was set up. So God made man in his likeness and image. He made Jamie in his likeness and image. That's the only way you could have heard the Holy Spirit the other day say, "I want you to apologize to that guy." That wasn't just a good thought from Jamie. Come on. Jamie would have under his breath cursed him and lift his middle finger up. That's what he would have done, unrenewed, in your heart, even if you didn't do it for real. Man, your workplace ought to be your greatest battleground and winning ground. Especially if you was a heathen before. Man, you know, I'm not bragging about the way I was, but I was one of the most rebellious people I ever knew. I didn't think nothing about cursing a buck. I mean, no mercy. No mercy whatsoever. Calling them an idiot, a fool. You don't know anything. I mean, just degrading them. And when I got saved, God pretty quickly showed me that, you know what, Mark? That ain't right. Because I was consuming the Word of God, and the Word of God was going into me and changing me. And some of the foremen, how many of y'all know foremen give you problems sometimes? Because they're type A and they want to lord their type A over you. Is that true?
Yeah.
Mostly. But there was one in particular that he won't get this. Leon O'Hara. That even sounds like he's a jerk, don't it? I mean, the name, and it's that even sounds like you got problems. He was so arrogant, man. It was like he strut down the hall and you do anything. I wasn't in his crew, okay? I wasn't even in his crew. And he'd come one day several times and told me to do something. I said, "I don't work for you. I'll do what I want to do, unless my boss tells me different." I can honestly say I hated this man. Have y'all ever felt that? Oh, come on, be honest. Have you ever felt that way about anybody before Jesus? Hopefully not after Jesus. And I made the statement one day, somebody said something about Leon. I said, you know, I wouldn't dump on his grave. If he was on fire, I wouldn't. That's the way I felt about Leon O'Hara. Leon, I hope you're listening to this, brother. I love you. But one day, a Holy Spirit, he was walking down the hall with his smirk and with his print in his hand, and you know, I'm like, and the Holy Spirit clearly showed me, no, you need to love this guy. And it took a few days, but I remember one day I went up and I shook hands with him and I said, basically, but it was a lot more intense. I said, "Leon," I said, "man, I am sorry. I've been such a jerk to you. I've been," even though really I had the right. He deserved that. My opinion. But you know what? When I did that, I really loved this guy. There was no more hate. There was no more unforgiveness. And If you'll just humble yourself, and they may treat you bad till the day you leave there, and they may go home at night thinking of ways they can mistreat you the next day. But you know what? I was free from that point on. And I had bosses come up to me and say, "Man, I don't know what happened to you, but I'm glad you did that Jesus thing." They said, "Life is so much easier around," you know? And when they recognize that, that's a testimony. And I'm sure y'all all got one like that. But we talked about dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So have dominion. And when we get saved, it starts all over again because we're the perfect man again. Does that make sense? I'm not saying we're perfect in everything we do, but we're the perfect man again. We're washed in the blood of Jesus. We're forgiven for all our sins. We are like the God, we're like Adam. We're like, Jesus was the second Adam, wasn't he? But we come under the power and the blood and the authority of Jesus. We are given authority. We're given the same authority that was given to Adam and Eve, and they threw it away, and Satan took it, right? He took it. He was a serpent, and Eve and Adam they relinquished their authority and said, "Here, you can have it." They didn't know they were doing that, but when they sinned, they said, "No, you're not, God's not God, you're God." And so when they relinquished that, they lost all their power. They were ashamed of their body, they were ashamed of their nakedness, right? They lost everything. They died that day, right? It said, "When you sin, you will surely die." And they died that day. They died spiritually. They still live for 900 years, 1,000 years. You know, Methuselah was 960-something. But they relinquished that. They relinquished. What did they relinquish when they gave in to sin? Relationship with God, number one. They lost that. They went and hid from him, right? When you're walking in sin, you hide from God. You need to repent quickly and get the blessing and get the cleansing. Anyway, I wasn't going to go, "I'm sorry. Wash me, Jesus." Psalm 8:3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the work of your hands." Have dominion over the work of your hands. How many of y'all know Jesus, Father God, has dominion over the universe? He has dominion over that solar eclipse we saw. He had dominion over the blood moons. He has dominion over all things. He knows everything from beginning to end. He knew you before you were born in your mama's womb. He knew what he wanted you to be before then. He knew the trials you would go through. He knew that you would have many opportunities to accept Jesus and walk in the light. Did he not know that? So he has dominion over the universe, but he has given dominion of the planet Earth to us. Is that true? Yes. Did he give it to Adam and Eve? Yes. But they blew it. And he said, "I got to get that back." And when Jesus died on the cross and he was put in the grave, it said he went to Sheol. And evidently he battled. I don't know what he did. He won the battle. He already won. But he made a public spectacle of demons and principalities and powers. And he's got the keys to death and hell. He holds the keys to all things, and he gives the keys to those who follow him, right? When we take Jesus into our heart, it's not just so we can go to heaven. It's a good thing. Praise God for heaven. But that's just the icing on the cake. Heaven should start when you came to Jesus, buddy. Heaven started the second you accepted Jesus as you, and you really made Him your Lord and Savior. And you started following Him. Heaven started right then. And you go, well, boy, I hope it's better than this. Well, it will be. It will be, but if the church would take dominion and walk in the glory and walk in the power and walk in the presence of God, because we've been fooled too long and we think the enemy's got some kind of power over God. That's not true. The enemy, at the name of Jesus, he bows. Jesus came up to the demoniac? Legions of demons. And the demons said, what have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? It's not our time yet. Let us go into that herd of pigs. So, they were gone. They trembled when they knew Jesus was there. Right? They had great fear when Jesus was here. That's right. Ephesians 1. I'll close here in a second. Ephesians 1:15. Ever since I heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I've given you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called, His holy people who are His rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for those who believe in Him. This power that He makes available to all Christians, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him head over all things for the benefit of what? The church, which is ecclesia, which means called out ones. Ones He's called out from the darkness. Ones He's called out from hell. Ones He's called out from this sinful battle on earth. He's called you into His glorious presence. He called out who? He called out Mark, Peter, James, John, Matthew. He called them out and said, come, follow me, right? And they had a choice to come and follow Him. They gave up riches, didn't they? They gave up their family life, didn't they? They gave up everything to follow Jesus. They gave up everything. He doesn't ask all of us to do that, but well, He does ask us all to be obedient and die to ourselves and do what He showed us to do, right? And the church is His body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with Himself. Listen, the church is His body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with Himself. Go to Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also has loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands, you ought to love their wives as your own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And that was a lot of reading right there. So he tells the husband to love your wife, love your bride the way Jesus loves the church. Ladies, you could trust a husband that will lay down his life and die for you, couldn't you? And husbands should be willing to do that. I didn't tell you all that marriage counseling, but that's true. Lay your life down. Lay everything down for your bride. That's true. But there's some, he's comparing the bride of Christ to the church, right? Did you tap Fred on the shoulder? Fred? Fred? Love her. But you've got the relationship between the bride and the church. And that Jesus is coming back for a glorious bride. He's not coming back for a weak, anemic, religious bride. He's coming back for a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle. Jesus. And you know, if you go back to Genesis and Jesus also quoted this in Matthew, but he said, when a man takes his wife, he should leave his mommy and daddy and cleave to his bride. And they should be fruitful and multiply. So the same with the church. Sometimes you gotta, you know, hard as it is, you love your family, you love your friends, but you leave old things behind. Come on, brother. And sometimes we have such a struggle walking the walks because we don't cut off our past. That don't mean you hate people, and that don't mean you don't, but you're not swayed. You ain't swayed by the way mommy and daddy did it anymore. Right, Jesus, God is your accountability. And I'm not anti-family. I just want you to know that God expects you to leave those old things. You don't have to be rude about it. Not at all. But if somebody come out of a cult, you wouldn't tell them, well, you can hang out with them every now and then. And no. When you advise somebody to come out of a cult, you say, come out. Come all the way out. Renounce everything you've ever had with them. I'm not saying renounce your family, because you're to honor your mama and your daddy regardless. But you don't walk in their ways anymore. Right. You don't walk in family traditions anymore. That's right. Amen. Amen. And that's what I'm saying. We have been given authority. That's the whole thing I want to give across. We have given authority. We don't have to, listen, you don't have to walk into church depressed, oppressed, regressed. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You'd be doing everybody a big favor if you'd renounce all that stuff before you come through those doors. And I'm not saying y'all do. No, I mean renounce it in your home. You've got authority to change atmospheres. You don't have to put up with that atmosphere. Man, Paul and Silas was in prison, man. They was in the midst of evil and cursing, and who knows what was going on in prison. Sodomy, who knows what was going on in prison. They're singing praises to the Lord in the midst of evil. They did not bow, and they got victory. They did not bow, and they were released. But even if they weren't, they wouldn't have bowed to the enemy. There is no, listen, we are coming on some times where the church doesn't save you. It don't. It don't. Not at all. But it's part, he said, it's part of the body. And I need people to speak into my life. And I need people to tell me when they see me going the wrong way. And I need people to be honest with me, you know? And if you do, you need to tell me. But, and I'm sure you've seen me go the wrong way before. You just need to speak it. But the thing is we're to iron sharpens iron. And we should be able to look at each other. And when we give testimonies, like we should have testimonies that are like, rah, look what God has done. You know, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord done with Jamie this week. He could have been PO'd all week and come in with a bad attitude to church because of what the little boss did to him. But he has authority over that little boss. What kind of authority? Love overcomes a multitude of sins. Love overcomes. You love him now, don't you? You hope he rides with you tomorrow. Oh, you're not ready for that yet, but you're getting there. That's a good point. You know, sometimes, and this is, you love everybody, right? I think it was Larry Norman. Love everybody, but don't be blind. Some people sent to mess your mind. Donna, I wish I knew the rest. That was a good verse. Anyway, submit yourselves to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee you. So when the devil's giving you a real hard time, Scott, what would you say to him? Rebuke it. I remember that from Damon and them. I used to go around, rebuke it. Of course, it got to be rebuke it at White Castle. What? You're right, rebuke it. Come here, where they can hear you. Speak into my collar. No. Yeah, I know you were. She's such an obedient child. I tell you what, I love her. You got a good one, Stephen.
I didn't mean
she got a good one too.
Say too much. I was just going to say this morning I was worshiping God before church, and I kept hearing for generations. And I was just like, for generations, our sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Like, for generations, they're going to heal the sick and raise the dead. And so, like, when you were preaching, and I just felt like God saying, whatever we do right now, us individually, sets the stage for generations to come. And it sets the stage for our children. And whatever ground that we gain, it's gaining that ground for them, for those generations to come. And so whatever ground that we take in our own lives, we bring it into our homes. And it's, you know, it's going to gain that ground for our children. Of course, they have to surrender their lives to be able to take that authority as well, to get everything God has for them. But we are doing something in the spirit, and but it starts with us. And so we have to gain that ground and that victory over depression and over, you know, that craziness and that chaos in our lives. We have to take authority over that. But anyway, God was just saying, if we do it, it goes on for generations and generations.
Amen. Yes. And you know, I'll let you pray over the whole church here in a minute. But we need to, the Bible says, go back and remember your first love. You remember that? Remember and return, go back to your first love, right? But it also says, do the things you did at first. I can't tell you exactly where it's at, but that's paraphrased. Do the things you did at first. Your first works, your most powerful works. The things that you, listen, the devil will make you believe or think that you've got too mature for that now. You went so far, you don't need that no more. Your first works are very important. Very important. God don't get bored or intimidated by you going back to him. I don't know about you, but I remember some of y'all hate driving to work every day 45 minutes. That used to be my greatest time of the day. I got to spend 45 minutes. Of course, there was no phone. There was nothing in there that could distract me. I could just drive. Yes.
I was doing that the other morning going to work. It takes me 40 minutes to get to the Census Bureau. And I was praying. I'm missing my Jeffersonville exit. I ended up going on across the Kennedy, and I had to pay a toll.
Oh, but it was worth it.
Yeah, it was $4. It was all right.
You need to get you a pass, man.
Well, I don't usually miss my exit.
I can remember praying so intense, foolishly. I can remember going across the Sherman Mint one day, and I'm like, God, I can close my eyes and pray. I know you'll guide my truck, and you know what? He did for a couple miles, and I thought, that's kind of foolish. But just knowing that he was going to be there and take care of you, you know? And I remember when you're getting beat up on by the enemy, don't you? I can remember, loud, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I proclaim the blood over you in Jesus' name. And I'd just be screaming. I'm sure the people going down 150 are like, what's wrong with this guy? He's having road rage. But to, you know, Satan's not hard to hear him, but you are. It's good to express what's in you. It's like, it's good to express your authority. He can open doors that no man can open, and he can close doors that no man can close. So it's important to, in the beginning was the Word. There's something about proclaiming things with your mouth, you know? I believe when you read the Scripture, you ought to read it out loud and follow along with it, or listen to it on, you know, your phone and read it. There's something about seeing and hearing. See, God built you that way, so. I just believe we are so close. And I'm not talking about Jesus coming back. And that may be, I don't know that. But I believe we are so close to this breakthrough. And you know, everybody's been saying for years, but we're not ready. It's like, have I ever been ready? Have I ever been ready for anything?
Well, they're saying that next week, or sometime in the next 2 weeks, President Trump is going to declare Jerusalem the capital.
Yes, I heard that.
That's gonna lose a whole lot of blessings.
And a whole lot of devils are going to get madder than a hornet, aren't they? He's right, and I heard that on the 700 Club. Man, they get to interview Pence is getting interviewed on the 700 Club. They won't let CNN or any of them jerks, those blessed reporters, they won't let them, see? I done stepped out and got angry at them. But it's like, come on. Have you ever seen a group of people that wanted to see somebody fail so bad? Just incredible. This guy's got to have a heart of iron. I would have probably done had a heart attack and checked out if I had all that stuff coming against me every day, day in and day out. So I believe he's raised up a warrior, man. He's like, we know he is. And not to get political. Y'all might be Hillary people, some of you, but I'll pray for you, man. But no, really, I think you're right. And I think our nation is in for some blessings. And the one thing about this goofy impeachment thing, I'm thinking, well, you go on impeaching, brother, because you're jumping from the frying pan into the fire. You know who takes over if something happens to Mr. Trump. And they probably do, too. We got a born-again governor, praise God. Now he's a vice president. So I think you're going into the service at just the right time, brother. I think you'll get a little help. Praise God. Let's stand up and pray. I'm sorry I kept y'all so long. I just, please, we've only got, what, 3-4 more weeks this year. I just really feel it. Please be praying for wisdom and discernment and strategies, because our prayer base needs to be rebuilt. Wednesday nights need to be, and I feel like the Lord said, get child care, pay somebody to do child care, do whatever needs to be done to get people in here, because we need that prayer, and we're going to have teachings. There's going to be a short teaching every week, and I'm going to get some anointed people in here, y'all, that can teach stuff and, you know, maybe deliverance, prophetic, hearing in the prophetic. I just think there's a whole lot of things we'd be interested in. And so pray for that. I don't want it to be a program, but I want it to be something that, you know, you get a teaching, you get the Word of God in you, and then you release it in prayer. And I don't know how it's going to look, but help me, man, because I don't know. You know, I don't know very much of nothing, but I know that God wants to do something. I know He wants to rebuild the wall around the church. I'm talking the church of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You care about us, Lord. We thank You that You've given us a place to make a stand. We thank You've given us room for a whole lot of people to come in. We don't have near enough room, but we've got the place to build it. So, you know, faith would say, claim that harvest. I say we claim that harvest in Jesus' name. We claim those that are lost, God. We claim those women that have went astray, God, and have went far from You, God. And God, that You would bring in a camp of virtuous women, God. Thank You, You're turning them into virtuous women. And God, men that have been abusers, men that have been addicted to drugs and all the pornography and every evil thing, God, men and women all mixed together, God, that need Your deliverance, that need Your freedom. I thank You, Lord, You have Your arms wide open, Jesus. Thank You, God, Your arms are wide open, Jesus. Your arms are wide open, Jesus. Make me willing. I'm praying for me, God. Make me willing to give up things that distract. Make me willing to give up things that pull me away from You. Things, even good things, that pull me away from Your presence, God. God, that You would draw us into the very center of Your presence. And God, when we get in that secret place, and the Bible says, where no foe can dwell, then we can hear clearly, God, and then we can make accurate plans. So speak to everyone in this house. God, those that aren't here, those that are discouraged, I pray encouragement in Jesus' name. We bind the works of darkness. We pray the blood, see your front door. We pray the blood of Jesus on the doorpost. Just slap it. Just slap it with that paintbrush full of blood, the blood of Jesus, God. We stand, God. We thank You, God, for Your angels about our home. We thank You for Your angels about our family, God. We thank You, God, the incurable is cured in Jesus' name, God. We thank You, discouragement, take a hike and leave in the name of Jesus. We take our governmental authority against discouragement and fear, and we tell You, no, we command You to go. Go where Jesus sends You. Go. You have no right trespassing on holy ground in Jesus' name. Say, He has given me dominion. Over the things of darkness. He has given me the light to shine into the world. He has told me to go forth. He told me to go forth and preach and lay hands on the sick and pray in tongues and cast out demons and all the gifts of the Spirit, God, in Jesus' name. Let us not fear. Let us not take a step back. Let us take a step forward. Do it for me. Just take a step forward. I'm taking this step forward, and I'm not going to go one and a half back. I'm not going to go one back. I'm not going to go a half back. I'm going to take another step forward. Tomorrow I'm going to be closer to You than I was last week, God, in Jesus' name. And if you got sin in your life, just repent of it right now. If you need to go to the altar and make adjustments, come to the altar and make adjustments. If you don't know you're right with the Lord, come up here right now. I don't know, God. I want to come back to You, but I don't know how. I want to come back to You, Lord, but I'm afraid. Come on. Come on. Come on. If that's you, come right now. Come right now. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you, and it's a good one. But you got to take the first step. Until you do, the enemy's just going to keep beating the fire out of you and your family and your destiny. Anybody. If you do, come on right now. Come pray over the church, Sarah, what you were saying. Hold your hands out and receive.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just declare your name over generations to generations to generations, God. We declare the name of Jesus, Lord. We declare your name, Jesus. We shout out your name, Jesus. Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that your name is above every other name, God, and we take hold of that. We take hold of the truth of who you are, God. We take hold of that authority that you have given us, God. We take that ground, Lord Jesus. We declare that victory, God, over the enemy in our lives, God. And I thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, that as we take that ground, God, we take it for our family. We take it for generations to come, God. The generations to come will give praise to your name, Lord God. They will give praise to your name and they will know who you are. They will know the name of Jesus and they will love you. And we declare that over them, God, that your love goes on and on and on throughout the generations, Lord. Jesus, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the unity in this body, God. I thank you that we are taking ground, Jesus, that we are taking steps forward, God, and not back. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for signs and wonders and miracles to be released, God, for the rivers of God to open up and flow in this house, God. Oh, spring forth in Jesus' name. Let those things well up, God, within us, Jesus, and it be like the rivers of living water that rush out of us, God, that you would gather together, God, and it be one mighty rushing mad river, Lord Jesus, a mighty river of God flowing in this place, Jesus, flowing down the hill, God, and out to our region, God, all through the regions of 150 corridor, Lord Jesus. I thank you that we are taking ground, Jesus, for our lives, for our church, and for the generations to come. And I declare it in your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Bless them, God. Bless them going out. Bless them coming in. Bless them to hear your voice clearly this week, Jesus. Bless them to WWJD, God, to do exactly what you would do, Lord. God, I thank you for supernatural health. I thank you for supernatural healing. I thank you for supernatural finances, God. I thank you for supernatural transportation, God. I thank you, God, that everything, Lord, that you'd rebuke the devourer off of everything and homes and driveways and wallets and banks, God, in Jesus' name, God, rebuke the devourer in Jesus' name. And show us what we need to do to build that wall in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything, come on up here right now. Incurables, anything you need from God, come on up here right now.